The Bible reading for the sermon is the text which was read. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you have kept us in life and faith to this hour. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit will help us to understand the meaning of your word for our lives. We pray that you will help us, give us direction in your will for us in the mind of Christ, and give us wisdom and help as we try to follow your will. In Jesus' name, amen. 9th before last, the evening paper had an account of Mrs. Alicia Hughes, interviewed by the journalist concerning the death of her 21-year-old son, the 21st victim of murder in the inner city of Fort Wayne, the city which leads the nation in gangsterism, increase of gangsters. She says to the journalist, "Parents are going to have to take their kids to church. They're going to have to be trained in the church." And then she looked down at her two little grandchildren crawling on the floor, and she says, "They're going to be brought up in the church. They're going to be trained in the church. This has got to stop." And so it was in seeing the contrast between the decaying philosophy of and philosophies of the Roman Empire and the insensitive teachings of Pharisaism, or as at least as practiced at the time of Paul writing to the Philippians. Even the soothsayer, the young girl, sees St. Paul and his helping missionaries, and she says, "Prophets of the Most High God." And so, Alicia Hughes sees now in the contrast between the destruction and deception, especially the death and now the funeral of her 21-year-old son, and the values of the church. The values taught in the church are the best we have. And that's the meaning of the Greek, hyper echo. I have that which is superior. Philippians 3:9. The highest value, the most superior value, the best we have, is to know Jesus Christ as Lord. And now she thinks about that. The best work we can have is to bring this helpful way of life and promise to other people so that they can train their grandchildren in it. It's the best we have. The best work one can have is to take part in training those grandchildren in their baptisms, in their confirmation instruction, so that they can be saved and civilized. That civilized, that is, to know the will of God and to have a structure, an ethic, a positive life, not one of mutual destruction and gangsterism. 5 ifs, if you know of any: consolation in Christ, comfort in love, fellowship in the Spirit, compassion, pity. If, like in a hypothetical syllogism, no question, these are realities. Those people were experiencing it. That soothsayer was experiencing it. Those who were making profits on that false religion felt that this prophecy or these prophets of the Most High God was enough a threat to them that they had Paul and the evangelist put into jail. And God's love and power broke that jail open, and the jailer's family wanted to be baptized, and they wanted to be part of the church, that their children would be trained in the church, because that's the best we have. Jesus Christ is the most important element in it. Comfort in his love. He reveals, it's, you know, paraklesis here, has about 15 different meanings. One is, yes, we are like Elisha Hughes. We need God's help. We need the best there is. And that is the best there is. So we cry out, and he's the advocate. The paraclete who advocates our cause before a merciful God. And another meaning of it is that we teach, train people like those grandchildren in the best way of life and the best promise there is. And that we have fellowship in the Spirit. That's helpful too. Now, this is an educational institution. And we teach and we learn a lot of things. But it's also a lab of living, of life, of reality. And these are all concepts. These five concepts are all concepts of reality. A real God in the love in Jesus Christ. Real love expressed among us. Real fellowship in the Spirit in the church. So I come here and pray for others many times and list prayers for others in time of need. And this past week I was experiencing that. And I knew what it was to have fellowship in the Spirit. People calling me on the phone, Columbus, Ohio, where my wife was undergoing surgery, praying for us in a chapel. Cards, flowers sent, even put my name on it. I was too busy to think about flowers. I was putting ice packs on her eyes and trying to wash the blood off, trying to keep those hard pieces of ice from opening the wound that she wouldn't hemorrhage. Fellowship in the Spirit in early Christianity was commitment that you'd sell all you have and help those who are in need. Eat together, meals together, the Lord's Supper together, pray together, study the Word together. Help one another. Yes, these are true realities then and now through the living God of love. It was interesting. Now here I was, coincidentally, in a city where the head of the eye surgeons in the College of Medicine gave a speech to them on time, all the technicians, 1977 fall issue of the College of Medicine's journal. I consider it the greatest speech I've read in the 20th century. He has to confront these destructions, not of the inner city of Mrs. Hughes, but on Winter Street here in Fort Wayne, but the suicide of a famous eye surgeon, his own anesthesiologist, who's less than 30 years old, comes up under narcotics. She's an addict to narcotics, as he is going to perform skill surgery, and she has to give up her profession. He says, you young people, he's talking to the faculty as well, you people, he says, you know, some of you don't even believe in God. You got an inferior philosophy. You consider these patients just a way of making money for your materialism, like they're just sick scoundrels to help you? Like St. Paul in the last verse of this text today. He says, you ought to consider others more important than yourselves. He said, you ought to consider those patients as beautiful cathedrals of God. And he ends his speech, he said, and you ought to believe that there is a God of love who cares for you and who cares for your patients. Because there is. Notice the hypothetical statement of St. Paul in five statements, repeated in five different forms. This surgeon ending his speech, hypothetically, that there is a God of love. You ought to believe that. Consider that. Because it's the truth. It's the reality. It's the best thing we have. I come into the waiting room during the surgery. I'm told, you know, first of all, by the helpers of the surgeon, you know, we have a nice waiting room down there and we'll notify you after during the surgery or whatever. There's a television in there and there's nice soft chairs and there's a telephone. I go in there and make a phone call. And then here are these soap operas coming over that television set. And people in there, we have serious concerns. Here I am praying for my wife and trying to concentrate, even writing the prayers down. And I see these other people. I see a surgeon come in and tell them, look, this 75% chance surgery with this, I'd like to come out in the hallway. I'd like to talk to you. as he's reporting. I said to some of them, I said, is it all right if I turn that thing off? Oh, yeah, so we wish you would. And so I'm praying, then I'm thinking of that speech by the eye surgeon at the Ohio State Medical School. And I'm hoping that the surgeon who is operating on my wife would consider her valuable, and that he would know that there was a God of love that would motivate him to do the best he could. Later, I called his secretary. I said, incidentally, did Kenneth Cahill study at the Ohio State Medical School in 1977? She said, let me check. Came back and said, yes. I said, is he a Christian? She said, he goes to church. If there's any compassion, any pity, any mercy, that's the heart and the soul of the thing. Compassion by the heart, the feelings from the heart, where the mother carries her child and would die for it. That you can die from the afflictions of a broken heart, as I have clippings about cases like this. A father who found his son cut up, stuffed in a barrel along Lake Michigan in Chicago, died, it said, of a broken heart. We are to have compassion on these people threatened by broken hearts, splagna, the bowels, the heart, the interior feelings which can kill us. And the only source and the best source that we have is the love of God in Jesus Christ, who wept over Jerusalem and at the death of Lazarus and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Pity, oiktirmoi, oik, from the old root. Oh, people sighing, groaning. Oh, no. The phone rings. It's the death of my young brother-in-law killed in a farm accident. I say, oh, no. I see the dead body along Route 30 here. Someone's taken his life, the news crew says. And I say, oh, no. Isaiah says, woe is me. Woe, oh, no. The groaning and travailing of all of this creation even unto now. And now. And the answer of the loving God in consolation, Hosanna to the highest. That's the best we got. And we have to be unified in knowing in our commitment and conviction that this is the best we got. It is the best there is. And telling others about it is the best work we can be doing. Steve Everett served a mission of ours in inner city Gary this past year, Black Inner City Mission. And I don't know how this tradition got started there, but when you preach, when you end, you're supposed to ask the audience questions to see whether they paid attention during your sermon. And I was reminded of that now. I was done preaching, and so I gave an illustration from the newspaper sports page. They were all interested in football. I said, this famous NFL football player bought an expensive house. He went out and got drunk at night with his friends, was out all night, came back early in the morning, and his live-in girlfriend was so enraged by this, what he had been doing and betraying her and everything. She burned the house down, smashed his new Mercedes and other new cars in the neighborhood, and now he was without money and without any place to stay, and he thought maybe the motel of the NFL football team there in town would be a place, and that was filled up. So I say to my audience, how would you communicate? Narada, seventh-year-old boy, young black boy, wants to be a minister in our church. Steve Everett had a good effect training him. Raised his hand. He said, I'd help him. Amen.